Superstition on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is our pleasure to offer you another short story in the series designed to disclose the origin of superstition. This time we take you backstage into the glamorous realm of the actor, where the popular belief is prevalent that whistling in a dressing room will bring bad luck. Come in.
Hello, Don.
Why, Charlie. Hello, old man. It's been years since I've seen you.
Rather.
When did you come east, Charlie?
Just got in yesterday. Came to the theater tonight when I saw you were playing here. You gave a great performance, Don.
Thanks, Charlie. Glad you liked it. Tell me something about yourself. What are you doing now? Still working on that travel book?
Just finished it. That's what I'm east for, to see the publishers.
Hello, Don. How's things?
Oh, hello, Nat. Come in and meet an old friend of mine. Charlie, this is Mr...
Nat's the name, old boy. Just call me Nat.
This is Charlie Bradford, Nat.
Pleased to meet you, Nat.
Yeah, sure. Why not? You're looking at Broadway's star reporter. Say, Don, we're throwing a party up at Silky's, and the gang wants you to come up. Hey, bring your friend. The more, the merrier. Well, I'll be seeing you.
Hey, Nat!
Ouch.
Stop that whistling in this dressing room. Good heavens, man. What do you want to do, bring me bad luck?
No, but say, Don, the next time you throw anything at a guy, pick something softer than this hairbrush.
Next time it'll be a chair whistling in my dressing room.
Why, you're... All right, Don, don't get excited. I'm sorry. I forgot about your quaint belief. Well, so long. See you at the party.
That ignoramus whistling in here. He's been around show people too long not to know that's one of the worst things he can do.
Why, Don, you don't mean you really believe in that superstition.
I surely do. It's been passed down from generation to generation. Why, it's a tradition.
Yes, I know, Don. But after all, traditions sometimes are absurd. And in the case of this particular one, it was due entirely to a misconception of a young man's motive that superstition began.
You mean to say you know the actual incident which that superstition is based upon, Charlie?
Yes. In the course of the research that I had to do on my book, I came across data that enabled me to piece the story of that superstition together.
Well, interesting, Charlie. Tell me about it while I'm taking off my makeup.
Sure, I'd be glad to. Of course, Don, it'll hardly be necessary for me to remind you that in the time of Shakespeare, and in fact until about 1660, women never trod the board.
I should say not, Charlie. It would have been considered indecent for a woman to play in a theater in those days.
Do you know, Don, it's interesting to speculate on how clever those young men and boys must have been in their characterizations of women and young girls.
That's quite right, Charlie. Otherwise, Shakespeare certainly wouldn't have written such parts as Cleopatra for their interpretation.
I know. And this story deals with a young actor by the name of Allen. He was a member of a company of players in London in the year 1642, and was a great favorite because of his cleverness in playing feminine parts. Allen was deeply in love with a beautiful young girl whose name was Anne. One day, before the opening of an afternoon's performance, he went to Anne's home to propose to her. He serenaded her first with her favorite song, a popular love ballad of the day. He was singing his very heart in the lovely strain.
And seal my lips with love's red sweet wine, and give me touch and glances warm. Oh, if I ne'er could call thee mine, cruel death by me were calmly born.
Ah, 'tis beautiful, Alan.
Dear Anne, happiness itself lies in bringing thee pleasure. That's all I ask of life.
Dear Alan, you've been such a sweet friend.
Friend? Why is it that you always speak of me as friend, Anne, my sweet? Don't you know
Alan,
that...
you must not think me cruel in what I'm about to tell you.
Speak, Anne. What is it?
You are aware, Alan, that I have always loved you as a very dear friend. But there is someone else I love dearly, too. And but last week, I promised to become his bride.
Oh, nay, Anne. You cannot mean that.
Forgive me, dear Alan, but I do mean it.
Oh, alack, I love thee so, Anne, darling. Well, you're the very essence of life to me.
But alas, I can never love you that way, Alan. But we will always be friends.
Nay, 'tis impossible. I love thee too well, Anne. Oh, the knowledge that you belong to another would drive me mad.
Oh, Alan, dear, I'd have given much to have spared thee this hurt. but I had to tell you the truth.
Very well, then, Anne. This is final. I'd best go. 'Tis destiny that sweetest dreams must sometimes end. Well, I must get to the theater, to my work. 'Tis all I have left. Fare thee well, my sweet.
William, have I this mustache on straight? Zounds, this mirror is so dull.
Why, it is all right, Edward. But tell me, can you recall that line in the second episode? You know, the one I always fumble. Is it, "Methinks the Duke looks pale today"?
That's right, William. By the way, where is Alan? 'Tis late and he won't have much time in which to dress.
Did you not see him this afternoon, Edward?
No, he was not at his lodgings when I called.
Here he is now, Edward. Greetings, Alan.
Greetings, my friend.
What has made you so late, Alan? You had best hurry. Old Becker says the performance must start on time this afternoon.
Oh, I'll be ready, Edward.
Did you notice much of a crowd on your way in, Alan?
What, William? Oh, a crowd. Yes, there was, I think, quite a gathering.
Ah, 'tis fine. For what can make an actor merrier than a goodly crowd?
Nothing, except it be a goodly sum in his purse at the end of the week, William.
Oh, thou hast the soul of a beef merchant, Edward. But what care I, ta-ra!
Stop that! Stop that, I tell you!
Why? What's the matter, Alan?
Oh, I can't stand that whistling, William. It's maddening.
Aha! Faith, our friend is of a very ill humor this afternoon.
Stop that infernal whistling, or I'll silence your tongue with my sword!
Sounds, you'll what?
Stop, William. Alan, are you both mad?
Hey, performance is ready to start.
Let's go. Come on.
Where's my form?
William, you've got to get on the stage. Alan, you must finish dressing.
You and I will have our reckoning later, Alan.
Whistling? My love song.
What did you say, Alan?
Oh, nothing, Edward, nothing. I was just...
Why, Alan, what's the matter with you? Why, you're shaking. You shouldn't let yourself get so upset.
Oh, but that whistling maddened me, Edward. It jangled my nerves.
Well, pull yourself together, Alan. You have to go on now.
I'm ready. Let us go, Edward.
Alan, you look so white. And your eyes are rather strange.
Oh, I'll be all right, Edward.
Well, here, Alan. You've got to make your entrance now.
Come, Alan. Get on stage. There's your cue.
Yes, Master Becker. I'm going on now. Greetings, lad.
What's the matter with Alan, Edward?
Why, nothing, Master Becker. He's...
Walk on that stage like he's angry. What do you think he's playing, the villain? After all, frowns don't become the part of a lovely young damsel. What's the matter with him? He's floundering in his lines. Why doesn't he let the prompter set him straight?
Please don't get excited, Master Becker. Alan's upset and nervous.
Sounds, I'll teach him to be upset and nervous on my stage. What's he upset about?
Well, 'twas like this, Master Becker. William started to whistle as we were dressing. Alan is very high-strung, and it had a peculiar effect on him. It seemed to praise him.
Well, heaven be thanked, he's only got one more speech in this scene. He's giving a terrible performance. He's coming off now.
Until tomorrow's moon shall light the path of love. Farewell.
Alan, a word with you.
Very well, Master Becker.
Oh, you were all right at rehearsal this morning. What's got into you now?
Oh, I'm a trifle unstrung this afternoon, Master Becker. Here's the dressing room. Will you step in?
Yes. Now, let me tell you, if you give performances like this, I'll boot you out.
I'm sorry, sir, but I'm just not myself right now. Or perhaps if you'll be so good as to leave me alone a bit, I'll be able to pull myself together.
Stuff and nonsense. You young cocks nowadays are full of notions. But look to it. If you don't give a better performance, out you go.
Oh, what's the good? There's only one thing in my brain now. Anne, my work, my life, everything was wrapped up in you, and now it's over. Oh, if I ne'er could call thee mine, cruel death, death, death. Yes, that's it. Oh, why go on? There's no answer to my existence without you, Anne. My dagger, here it is. Anne, this... the end.
Alan. Why, Alan, by the gods. Master Becker, come, quick. Alan has stabbed himself.
What did you say? We must get a doctor. Quick!
No. It's no use, Master Becker. He is dead.
What caused him to kill himself, Edward? Has he had any trouble?
No. No, nothing. He was all right until William began whistling in the dressing room. Alack! That whistling must have brought in the spirits of evil.
Aye, it surely must have been some evil spirit that prompted Alan to take his own life.
And soon after Alan's suicide, the theaters were suppressed, for it was believed that their immorality had increased the plague, which had been raging intermittently in England for years. The fact that for 18 years afterward no theater was reopened there further strengthened the actors' belief in the evil of whistling in the dressing room. They held it responsible for bringing them bad luck, which was absurd, for the Puritans had been endeavoring for years to close the theaters. So you see how foolish that superstition is, Don?
Foolish? Well, it drove that poor Alan to kill himself, didn't it?
But, Don, don't you see? Alan's motive for committing suicide wasn't because of the whistling, but because Anne was going to marry someone else. His companions were ignorant of that fact and believed it was the whistling in the dressing room that caused Alan to become so crazed that he killed himself.
Yes, that's true, but... Come in.
Oh, Mr. Donald Nevins?
Yes?
I'm a representative for Mr. Valesco. He wishes to see you tomorrow in reference to the leading part in one of his forthcoming productions.
Very well. Thank you.
All right. Good night, Mr. Nevin.
Good night, sir. What a break! Do you realize what that means, Charlie? A leading part in a Valesco production. Why, it'll be the making of me. Oh, boy.
Congratulations, Don. And you were worried about having bad luck because Nat whistled in your dressing room. Now, do you still believe in that superstition?
Why, this is only a coincidence, Charlie.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, even though Don had no bad luck, he still believes that whistling in the dressing room is an omen of evil. Au revoir, and good luck to you.